I'd ask you to please turn with me to the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. That is page 1359. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And these words before this text, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now our subject before us this morning is thanksgiving in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving in Christ Jesus. And a consideration this morning at this Harvest Thanksgiving weekend concerns particularly then this exercise of thanksgiving. Now we have a really quite an amazing exhortation here this morning. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, this exhortation here this morning can only be adhered to by faith in Christ Jesus. No one can ever really, truly embrace this instruction, this exhortation, without truly believing in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For it is only in Him, in Christ Jesus, with the enabling of the Holy Spirit, does God the Father ensure that all things work together for the good of His people, that we might be moulded according to His will. It is only because of our union with God in Christ Jesus that we can give thanks to God for Him in everything. Because we know by faith that every experience that comes to us in our life, that God can overrule such experiences and mould us more and more into the likeness of Christ through experience. And so this verse clearly is written to show the harmony of thanksgiving in everything, but very importantly, it is thanksgiving in union with Christ Jesus. We can only embrace this text by faith and realize its profound truth as we are looking this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We have then this precious assurance in union with Christ Jesus. Now, because of this connection here, very clearly, with Christ Jesus, I want us to look this morning, just for a few moments, at the example of the Lord Jesus giving thanks, the Lord Jesus Christ giving thanks. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord, the one above all others, our Creator, He actually leads us and shows us the perfect way in thanksgiving. And what better model and example this morning to follow for thanksgiving than that of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the secret then behind following this exhortation of the Apostle Paul by faith in Christ Jesus. And I just want to look at four examples this morning in which our Lord specifically gives thanks to His Father in heaven. And I hope this message will encourage us in this all-important ministry of giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving to God. First of all, if we turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, we see Jesus actually giving thanks to God the Father for His sovereign grace. For His sovereign grace. Now, the sovereign grace of God the Father is beyond their human intellect to comprehend. But we receive this wonderful truth by faith, and we can thank God for it. In verse 11, chapter 11 and verse 25, we read the Lord Jesus saying, "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things, these wonderful truths, the gospel, from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him.'" Well, this is undoubtedly the sovereign grace of God spoken of here. And the first thing we can notice about the thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus here is the element of praise. "I thank you, Father. I thank you." As the perfect man, he gives thanks in praise to his eternal Father as the Lord of heaven and earth. "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." We can see a similar pattern to this in the Lord's Prayer as he teaches us, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name," praising God the Father, praising his great and glorious name. And so a direction and desire here is to bring praise and glory to the Father's name in thanksgiving. This is the outset of the prayer. "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." We praise God the Father as Lord of heaven and earth. And so the first thing we learn about the thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus, it must begin with praise of God, adoration, reminding ourselves of how great God is. And in first praising the authority of the Father as Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus then lays down at the foundation of his thanksgiving here at this time. And it's thanksgiving which is centered upon the sovereign grace of God to his elect. Jesus actually here is praising God the Father that in his sovereignty he hides and he reveals. He hides himself from those who are convinced that acceptance with him is through their wisdom and capability. When Jesus is speaking here about the Father hiding these things, he's hiding them things, these things, these wonderful truths, from those that are self-righteous, those that are wise in their own eyes, those that don't really think they need the Lord Jesus. And such people will never receive the gospel in such a spirit. They don't think they need the gospel. And so these things are hidden from them. He hides himself from those that are convinced that acceptance with him is through their own wisdom and capability. The wise and the prudent, they do things their own way. But he reveals the gospel this morning to those who understand their dependence upon his mercy and upon his grace in Christ Jesus. Oh, they're not too proud to say, "Lord, I am weak. Lord, I'm unworthy. Lord, I do not deserve the least of your mercies, but I come to you because your word tells me you are the God of mercy, you are the God of grace, and I come to you as a babe. I come to you as a little child. I come to you in absolute dependence upon you." Oh, Lord, you reveal these things to babes, and the Lord Jesus praises God for this. He thanks God for this. He thanks God for his sovereign grace, which rejects independence and pride and accepts the dependent ones, the ones that come as a child. Jesus says, "Unless we become as a little child, we will nowise enter the kingdom of God." And so this unique sovereign grace, it extends to those who truly understand their need of salvation, who truly understand that they are as babes before the Father. Trusting in their Father in heaven. And this thanksgiving for sovereign grace is reaffirmed again in the verse 27 that we read together. He repeats it again. There's the concept, the truth, the wonderful truth of the sovereignty of God again repeated in verse 27. So it's very important to notice 2 points from the context of this thanksgiving for God's sovereign grace. The first point, Jesus, the supreme teacher, demonstrates that sovereign grace is in total harmony with the gracious invitation of the gospel. Because having thanked the Father for his sovereign grace, our Lord then immediately follows it with a gracious gospel invitation. So let's read verse 28. Come to me, all you who are at labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the Lord Jesus lays down the principles of the sovereign grace of God. He thanks his heavenly Father for it, and then he immediately invites sinners to come just as they are. Come in your dependence this morning. Come in your unworthiness. Come in your weakness. You are the very ones that come. You are the very ones where this invitation is extended to. And the second point we see is that the Lord Jesus Christ places more emphasis in his thanksgiving for the sovereign grace of the Father in the gospel than upon the amazing signs and wonders. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. And this is a very important point in the day and age in which we live. What is more praiseworthy, the gospel or signs and wonders? Well, in verse 17 of chapter 10 of Luke, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh, the sovereign grace of God is the cause of great adoration. Why me? Why has God bestowed his grace upon me? And so the first example here of the Lord Jesus is to show us the importance of giving thanks for the sovereign grace of God. The hymn writer wrote, sovereign grace, or sin abounding, ransom souls, the tidings swell, 'tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its length or breadth can tell, on its glories let my soul forever dwell. Dwell on the glory of the sovereign grace of God, but never try with your human intellect to work it out, because it's impossible. This is an eternal decree. This is God's decree. This is God's purposes, and God knows his own mind and will and purpose, and all will turn out for the glory of God. Our responsibility, our call, is to simply bow down on our knees and worship God and receive these truths by faith and thank God for them. On its glories, let my soul forever dwell. But secondly, Jesus gave thanks for the gracious providential provision of the Father. If you turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 11, John chapter 6 and verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Now, the Lord Jesus here had recently been told of the beheading of John the Baptist. And our Lord was undoubtedly extremely sad about this event. Nevertheless, he spent all the day teaching the multitude. And despite exhaustion in the evening, he refuses to accept the disciples' instructions to send the congregation away without food. And as the good shepherd, he cared for them spiritually and providentially. And he led the way in showing that the gospel includes spiritual and practical care. Spiritual and practical care. He also led the way in organizing the practical arrangements. He ensured that no one was left out. He ensured that nothing was wasted. And he showed that order does matter in dispensing the providential provision of God. And we saw that yesterday evening, an organization, an order, and a tables beautifully laid out. There's a picture for us. There's a message for us. God is the God of order. Well, before the meal, according to the accounts also given in the other three Gospels, this wonderful occasion, he stood in front of the multitude and he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks to his Father. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the bread. And here, Jesus took the loaves and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. Now think of this example of thanksgiving. Here is the Son of God. He is actually the creator of heavens and earth with the Father and the Spirit. And here he is given thanks as the perfect man on earth to his eternal Father in heaven for such a gracious provision. But the visible object of his thanksgiving was simply five small loaves and two small fishes. There didn't seem to be very much there. But the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, the savior of the church, the head of the church, the second person in the Trinity, has five small loaves and two small fishes, and he gives thanks. And there was obviously something very marked and significant about the manner in which Jesus gave thanks, If you turn with me to verse 23 of this chapter, in chapter 6 in John, John 6, verse 23, however, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. There are obviously something very significant here. It must have really resonated with the people as they looked at the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying to his Father, giving thanks. It must have had a real impact. It's mentioned here again, where he gave thanks. Well, the thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus here to his Heavenly Father was made in faith. Despite the fact that he had just five barley loaves and two small fishes, he gave thanks to God the Father, believing that God the Father in his sovereign will would provide for all the multitude through him. He gave thanks. He had thousands of people in front of him. He only had this small amount of food, five small loaves and two small fishes, and he gave thanks. Everyone would be fed. I'm reminded of George Muller, you know, and there was a time when they were so in need that the children didn't have any breakfast. And all these children were sitting down before empty bowls. And the manager said to George Muller, "What are we going to do here? We haven't got any food to give them." And George Muller stood at the end of the roof, and he gave thanks to God for the way that he would provide for them. And that very moment, there was a knock on the main door, and a man had brought some oats for them to make porridge, and it was there. And the children were amazed that this man stood and gave thanks to God with empty bowls by faith, knowing that God would provide, and God did provide. And here is the Lord Jesus, praying by faith as the divine perfect man. He knew that God would work with divine power through himself as the Son of God, he himself as God would be able to perform this miracle. And he gave thanks knowing that this miracle would not only feed the people physically, but it would also provide a wonderful spiritual lesson. Because this was a lesson he taught the next day when they wanted to make him a king. Oh, here is a bread maker. Here is a man that could become their political leader, and he can provide material bread. He could be a material bread basket for them. So based upon the miracle of the previous day that we're looking at here, Jesus gave the message that the essential issue of life, the essential need, is that he is the author of spiritual life. He said in verse 33 of this chapter 6, "For the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." So Jesus gave thanks by faith to his Father. He had the big picture in mind. This was a providential blessing with a great spiritual purpose. And he gave thanks having faith in his Father's perfect will, as God provided for the physical needs of the multitude through Christ. So God the Father will provide for all your spiritual need through Jesus Christ, in whom our every spiritual blessing flows. So here we see the example of the Lord Jesus, that our thanksgiving, it must include praise. That's the first point. The second point is it must include faith. If we're going to thank the Father, we must praise him in faith. That what he has done in the past, he will do in the future. That he will never leave us or forsake us. The third thing of thanksgiving, the third element of thanksgiving, Jesus gave thanks for the attentiveness of the Father. If you look with me to John 11, verse 41, John chapter 11, verse 41. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying." This was Lazarus. "And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. Because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.' Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Now the greatest comfort for Jesus while he lived here upon earth was the all-knowing attentiveness of his eternal Father in heaven. Through all the various experiences of the Lord, his Father in heaven continued to look upon his beloved Son with pleasure. Did not the Father cry from heaven after the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus at the ordination of baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? Then later when Jesus was transfigured on the mount, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And the comfort of the attentiveness of the Father during his perfect life of obedience made the separation from the Father on the cross at the end of his life the most painful experience. Actually, I believe that the separation from the felt sense of his Father's presence was the most painful experience for the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Even more than bearing the eternal wrath of God the Father upon him for the sins of all those ordained unto eternal life. That suffering was beyond their comprehension. But the grief of separation from his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Was a grief so deep for our Father. But here is the Lord Jesus, and he's given thanks to his Father a short while before Calvary. And he is comforted by the knowledge that his Father knows about his grief, and he knows about his tears, And his father is in perfect harmony with him, knowing the reason behind his tears. Jesus wept. Jesus wept at the loss of Lazarus, but Jesus wept at the problem of the death of sin and death and the curse of sin. And he says to Lazarus, come forth with divine power. Because he is the resurrection and the life. He is the victor over death and sin and hell. He is the victor over Satan. And Jesus here was weeping. He's deeply moved as the perfect man. Not only about the death of a beloved friend, but because of the curse of sin and death itself. Yet, amidst this sadness, amidst this weeping, amidst his tears, there was thanksgiving to his father. Because his father had knowledge of all events. His father was attentive to his prayers. He gave thanks in anticipation of the demonstration of the Father's power. And thanksgiving because shortly God the Father and God the Son would be glorified. I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you always hear me. I thank you, Lord, my heavenly Father, that you always hear me. And so the Lord Jesus gave thanks for the attentiveness of his Father. He gave thanks for the sovereignty of the Father. He gave thanks for the provision of the Father. And if we turn in chapter 11 back to verse 4, you see how the Lord Jesus knew that everything was under the divine control of God the Father. When Jesus heard that he was sick, that Lazarus, the one he loved, was sick, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So right at the very outset, directly that information came to the Lord Jesus, he directly said, God is in control. The Son of God will be glorified through it. So in the midst of his sadness, his desire still remained for the glory of God. Jesus said to Martha, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And so Jesus gave thanks knowing that in his Father's will, his own personal deity would be verified by the raising of Lazarus. The situation that seemed so hopeless and so dark and so despairing and so distressing was gloriously transformed because of the sovereignty of the Father to the glory of the Son. Well, we can learn that thanksgiving to his Father, to the Father, includes gratitude that he is all-knowing and attentive to us this morning. Thank the Father that he hears your prayers. The ears of the Lord are open to your cry. 24 hours a day. There is no time in the day or the night where you cannot cry out to God and he's asleep. And he has the life-giving power to transform the situation through Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. This must be our hope as we believe in the Lord Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And finally this morning, the fourth point for thanksgiving. If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. And this is the institution of the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it all of you, For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And we come to our fourth example, probably the most profound example of the Lord Jesus giving thanks. We know from Scripture that our Lord had this holy desire to follow his Father's will. But in doing so, he knew that that meant suffering beyond our own ability to comprehend. If we move on to verse 37, we see a glimpse of what this awesome depth of the suffering meant. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, our Lord Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, and he clearly stated there that the bread symbolized his body and the wine his blood shed for the remission of sins. Therefore, when Jesus was given thanks for the bread and the wine, he was given thanks to his Father in the knowledge that he was about to enter into a pathway of suffering beyond our comprehension that would ultimately result in death. And so there is something profoundly deep in this example of thanksgiving. The faith of the Lord Jesus in his perfect Father's perfect will meant that he looked beyond the suffering to the outcome. Jesus gave thanks knowing that the redemption of all those ordained to eternal life would be accomplished through Calvary, through his suffering and death, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him, the joy of renewed fellowship with his Father after Calvary at the Father's right hand, the joy of knowing the church was redeemed, the joy of seeing millions of sinners saved by divine grace through Calvary. We can also notice in the context of giving thanks in suffering, the Apostle Paul also mentions this profound issue of thanksgiving. If you look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the well-known passage there, look what the Apostle Paul is saying there in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord, from that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" So here the Lord Jesus is taking the bread, he's breaking the bread, and he's taking the cup, and he's lifting up the cup, and he's giving thanks to his Father, knowing that that cup symbolized his death. It symbolized the shedding of his blood. That's how much he loves his people. We can learn then that thanksgiving to God the Father in times of suffering means exercising faith to trust that he will ensure the outcome is for his glory and our blessing in Christ Jesus. Now, for us as the Lord's people, suffering is sometimes essential for us, for our sanctification. We know that James speaks of this in the context of suffering, and he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." The Apostle Peter also deals in the same context about, he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, and now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And as we consider this thanksgiving of the Lord Jesus, as we follow his example, the Lord Jesus gave thanks to his Father, knowing the outcome of that suffering. He was willing to go through that pathway of suffering, that there will be a wonderful fruit through that suffering. He did it as a perfect man, without any sin. When we endure suffering, it is often a needs be for our good, for our sanctification. But it's good that we can still thank God for that, because whom the Father loves, he chastens. And he disciplines according to his love. Or in Hebrews 12, it comes to my mind as we are talking about this, it says, "No, now chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Well, this chastening isn't joyful. It wasn't joyful for the Lord Jesus. The joy was after the suffering. The joy was after the suffering. For us, our suffering, because we are often weak and we need correcting, is we describe it as chastening. It doesn't seem to be joyful for the present, but painful. But there's an afterward with God. There's always an afterward with God. And this is something to lay hold of by faith this morning, and to thank God for it. That even if we are going through times of difficulty, there's an afterward, dear friends. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't manufacture the afterward, but God has the after already in control, and he knows what it is, and he's working to that purpose because he loves his people, and he loves them with an everlasting love. So let us remember then the profound depth of thanksgiving. Following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Jesus gave thanks for the sovereign grace of the Father. He gave thanks for the gracious provision of the Father. He gave thanks for the attentiveness of the Father. And he gave thanks for the perfect will of the Father. So may we be helped in our own little way to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks.